This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Broadcasting live from the Just Call Jed studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. This is Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, it's a beautiful August 25th here in Western New York. Good morning, everybody. Brayton Wilson here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Filling in today along with Paul Hamilton joining me as... Well, Paul, it's nice and exciting because football season is that much closer. The preseason ends. We get roster cut down day tomorrow, and then it's full go steam ahead to the regular season. How are you today, Paul?
I'm well. How have you been?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all. And right away, Paul, we're going to be joined here on the Western Hotline, joined by our own Sal Capaccio, as we're going to recap quickly the preseason finale, I should say, from Saturday against Tampa, and also kind of get an early look ahead to tomorrow's roster cut down day. Sal, good morning. How are you today?
Pretty good, guys. Good morning to you. It is actually a little sprinkly down in Olean, beautiful Bartlett Country Club. Rain was this morning. It stopped for a while. It was nice. The sun came out. It's starting to sprinkle again, but I think we're going to be okay here for the annual Coaches versus Cancer Golf Classic.
Yeah.
Beautiful Bartlett Country Club.
Yeah, absolutely. Sal, feel free to give us a plug in terms of what's exactly going on and what you're taking part in today.
Yeah, it's been my honor to be the MC for the dinner and golf. It's a Sunday night. Last night came up into Monday golf event, and it's Coaches versus Cancer, and people have seen throughout the college basketball world for many years how the college basketball coaches have gathered together to really raise money. Really, it was started a long time ago in a lot of ways by Jim Valvano and, you know, what he and his family went through. And, you know, I've been a college basketball fan my whole life. I really have. And, for me to be able to be here and be a part of this with so many great college coaches, obviously Mark Schmidt is here. Adrian Wojnarowski is here, obviously now at Bona, and just saw Mike McDonald, and I know Jim Christian from Canadian, but a lot of great coaches here. And, you know, cancer touches everybody in some way, shape, or form, whether it's yourself, your family, your friend. I know there's been a lot of cancer struggles and battles in my family personally, a lot of friends. We've lost friends and family members to cancer. So, you know, try and, you know, really raise a lot of money to to fight this horrible disease is something that I take a lot of pride in doing this every year down here.
Well, good on you, Sal. And hope you guys raise a lot of money and do a lot of good things for cancer research today down in Olean. Let's get to the football action, Sal. Obviously, the Bills, they wrapped up their preseason on Saturday with a win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 23-19. I know that usually in the final preseason game, there's the roster battles that are going on for guys that are trying to make the 53-man roster. There's not entirely a lot of sexy headlines that go into the final preseason game. But, I mean, in your eyes, what stood out to you the most from that contest?
I think what stood out to me most is the difference night and day from the previous week for a lot of the same guys, right? The same group that was on the field in Chicago. I thought they had a lot of pride in what they, you know, wanted to put on film that did not show up as much in Chicago, and it definitely did show up more in Tampa, and that was good to see. That wasn't all the same players, of course, but many of the same second stringers and third stringers, guys fighting for spots. And look, we all know that a lot of those guys in that field are not going to be around as of 4 p.m. tomorrow, but maybe they did enough to give themselves a shot at the practice squad. Maybe they did enough to give themselves a shot on another team's 53-man roster or practice squad. That's what you like to see, and that was great. And of course, some roster battles and positions. And let's start with Shane Buechel. And I mean, he was fantastic. 25 of 30, 278 yards. It was amazing after the game on the field. If people didn't hear the on-field interview, really glad to catch up with him because he was emotional. And he told me that he had never played a full NFL game. And that makes sense. He had never played in a regular season game. And this was the first time he ever went wire to wire in a preseason game. But for him to put together that performance, I think that note, put, you know, it will be noticeable by teams, and maybe he doesn't make the practice squad. But I do think he is in the conversation to be the practice squad quarterback over Mike White. We'll see how that goes. And then, of course, I think Tyrell Shavers is the other guy that really stands out, what he did. He's fighting for that sixth wide receiver spot, and I think he's going to get it. I did a 53-man roster projection, guys. I have Tyrell Shavers on the team. I just think he did enough, and I think he's playing enough special teams to justify them keeping him and playing him.
Do you think there's any danger as far as getting cut by either Elijah Moore or Curtis Samuel?
I do think it's a discussion more with Samuel, Paul. And sure, Elijah Moore could be in this boat too, but the fact that Elijah Moore wasn't playing long into the game, I think tells you that he's probably pretty safe on this roster. But I do think you have to kind of go through that and see. He has some guarantees in his contract. That's always something that you have to, you know, think about because you're already spending money whether he's on the roster or not. But the same thing with Curtis Samuel. And for his case, $7 million, right, of a base salary. And you do save $500,000 by cutting him, but you've already spent that $7 million, whether he's on the roster or not. And when he's been healthy, then he's showed up pretty well. We saw that last year towards the end of the season, the Denver playoff game. And even when he came back last week, Paul, the one thing that I think I keep remembering Sean McDermott saying over the last week or so is how he really liked when Curtis was playing and healthy last week, a couple days in practice, that, you know, he liked what he saw. But lo and behold, he gets sick. He doesn't make the trip. Here comes some unavailability again. I do think they have to make a decision there, but I just don't think it's to the point where they probably feel comfortable keeping somebody else unless they only go five wide receivers and Tyrell's one of them. I think Moore and Samuel, to me, are on the roster.
Sal, another focus from the Bills from that preseason game was defensively, especially in the secondary with Cole Bishop once again playing in the early stages of that game. Personally, I was kind of happy to see how Cole Bishop played. I thought he was active. I thought he was engaged. I thought he was reading plays really well. What did you take away from Cole Bishop and how now the safety complexity is going to look as we get closer to the regular season?
Yeah, I like those two words you used, and I think he was aggressive and attacked. He looked confident to me. I think we all just need to, Bills fans need to take a collective breath on safety and Cole Bishop and understand what kind of is happening here, which is he needs more reps. He needs more time on task, and the more that happens, the more you see that maybe he's going to be okay, right? But we'll see. We'll see what happens once it gets to the regular season. I think we all know now one thing is sure, unless something were to happen between now and then at practice, Cole Bishop is the starting safety next to Taylor Rapp. They are not moving off that. There's not going to be someone else coming in here. He's not going to be losing a job to somebody else on the roster. Now the question is, you know, can he do enough in the season, in games, to make plays, to show that he belongs on the field as a regular starter for the entire season? I think they really like the way he's progressed here since he's come back from injury. And I just think, like you said, that he looked like he was more confident. He looked like he was more comfortable. He was attacking. And that kind of Cole Bishop is a good Cole Bishop for the Buffalo Bills. That's what they need.
Do you think the players, there's 2 weeks now of practice before the first regular season game, Do you think they would rather just let's get into it? Let's go. I mean, let's not drag this out for 2 weeks. I don't think coaches mind, you know, getting on the practice field for a couple of weeks. But from a player standpoint, do you think they would rather just get at it, or don't they mind the 2 weeks?
You know, Paul, I think a lot of guys are chomping at the bit. I really do, right? They want to get out there. They want to play. I mean, especially think of the starters, right? Josh Allen didn't take a snap in the preseason, entire preseason, first time in his career. There's going to be starters who want to play. They want to get right after it with the Baltimore Ravens. But I also think there's probably a lot of them that says, okay, it's time to reset here. Let's get healthy. One of the big issues right now with the Bills is the amount of injuries they have. Now, they're not really long season-ending injuries. And, of course, that being said, we don't know yet the status on Tre'Davious White. We'll see where that goes. But they don't have these long, you know, injuries through the season. What they have is a whole bunch of guys who are banged up. So I think, Paul, from that perspective, I think they want to get their bodies right. I think they need the 2 weeks. They want the 2 weeks, get their bodies right, get into practice, start game planning for the Baltimore Ravens, and be ready to rock and roll on Sunday night, September 7th.
Sal Capaccio joining us here in the Western Hotline on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal, I mean, I read your arrow up, arrow down article, and I think one thing that was another good positive out of this game was the fact that nobody else got injured as a result of this game. But, of course, there's still some question marks as we enter the final days before the start of the regular season, one of them being Tre'Davious White. What do we know about the extent of his injury and his timeline possibly?
Yeah, so we know that's a leg injury, lower body injury. That's what Brandon Bean told Josh Reed and Channel 4 before the game on Bills Kickoff Live. And then Sean McDermott, we know after the game, told Jay Skursky, the Buffalo News, that you know, they're going to get an MRI. They're still waiting on MRI. So we'll see where it goes. The fact that Dane Jackson played so late into this game, I think can look at two ways. One, for Dane Jackson, that's usually not a great sign for a guy, but also could be encouraging that they maybe didn't. They know that maybe they're getting Tre'Davious White back at some point, so they're not, you know, making sure they just really protect another outside corner in Dane Jackson. I'm just trying to read the tea leaves here. So that's what we know, you know, that's what we know from what they said, and that's what we can interpret from what we saw. But we really don't know anything and probably won't until Brandon Bean speaks to us again Wednesday mid-afternoon. I think around then, usually that's when we get them. When the roster gets trimmed on Tuesday, we hear from Brandon Bean. But guys, who knows? It's been kind of like it's been kept very close to the vest, right, about Tre'Davious White. His injury. The fact that they haven't gone out and immediately like been bringing in corners and signing a corner, I think should be encouraging. They did make a move and people said, well, is this a sign because they made a move the other day? But that was really one guy was out, one guy was in. It was a one for one. It was just to fill in the roster for the end of the season there. But I think that's encouraging, at least from my standpoint, my perspective, that they haven't been going out and bringing in all these corners and signing somebody. So let's see where it goes. We'll find out more midweek, I would guess, at the latest on Tre'Davious White.
Did you feel Dane Jackson kind of redeemed himself in this Tampa game? He made some plays in the game, definitely, and I kind of thought he had struggled before that.
You know, Paul, I do in a way because, see, I think that Dane Jackson is kind of a guy who has this floor where you know when he steps on the field, he's going to know the system. He's going to be very coachable. He's going to do exactly what you ask. He's not going to make these game-changing plays. He's not going to be this wildly athletic guy that's going to go out there and, you know, turn heads and shut down the other team. And right now in this situation, because Tre'Davious White has this injury that we don't know what the length or status is, I think Dane Jackson becomes very important here for that reason. Like, if you have to plug and play a guy, this is the guy you're going to do. And I know that doesn't sit well with a lot of Bills fans. But, again, you'd rather have a guy that you understand. He knows your system. You understand what he's about. He understands what you're about. The communication is there. And you go into a game against the Baltimore Ravens and can play than somebody who just bring off the street who you have to get up to speed on that. I do think he made some plays in this game, no doubt about it. I don't know if it's enough plays to be made to justify a spot in the 53 if Tre'Davious White's healthy. If he is healthy, I think Dane Jackson becomes a practice squad guy because I think that's the perfect practice squad veteran that you can call on, break glass in case of emergency if you have an injury throughout a week. But it might come down to one spot for Dane Jackson, or maybe two spots, I guess. Dane Jackson, Jamarcus Ingram, and Dorian Strong. Dorian Strong, sixth-round pick. Do they want to risk losing him to waivers? Or are they confident with, hey, we'll get him back on the practice squad. Then you can keep both Dane and Jamarcus. Jamarcus, he plays outside. He plays nickel. He plays dime safety. I just feel he does so much for them that I'd be surprised if they released him. But I think there's if everybody's healthy, including Trey, I think there's two spots for three guys.
Sal, before we let you go here on this Monday morning so you can get to work as doing MC work today, Just give a rundown in terms of what people should expect over the next coming days as we get ready for the season opener coming up on the Sunday, the 7th of September at this point.
Yeah, so today and tomorrow, there's really not going to be any media from the Bills. They're going to be working on their roster. And we already know through reports from the NFL Network that Jordan Phillips is visiting the Bills and intends to sign on a 53-man roster. I think that's super interesting. What does that mean for is it Daquan Jones? Is it Dwayne Carter? Is it Larry Ogunjobi, who's suspended? I mean, I just think that this is really fascinating what's happening here. So those are the things that are happening over the next, 24 to plus hours until 4 p.m. tomorrow. By 4 p.m. tomorrow, everybody has to be down to 53 guys. What you're going to see at 4 p.m. tomorrow is you're most likely going to see Max Harrison get placed on IR to return. So that means he stays on IR, but he can come back after 4 weeks. You're going to see Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi, if he's still on the team, be on the suspended list. They do not have to make the 53. They go right there. And you're going to see probably Cedric Van Pran Granger on the PUP list. He doesn't have to make the 53. Then from there, everybody around the league is cutting guys. And if you haven't been in the league 4 years, you're subject to waivers. The Bills could go pluck a guy from another team that gets released. And then you have more roster gymnastics. And then we'll hear from Brandon Bean some point on Wednesday. The team will be back to practice later this week. And then next week becomes a full week leading up to the opener.
Very good. Well, Sal, we'll let you get to it. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the next couple of days as we'll be sure to stay glued to everything that you've got going on with the Bills at Orchard Park. Thanks again.
All right, you got it, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline here on WGR as the Bills now shift focus, Paul, to the regular season after their win on Saturday, getting the victory over Tampa. Now it's on to the regular season. They first got to get through the roster cutdown day, which comes your way at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Some interesting names that could be on the chopping block, Paul. I know that with Sal, we talked about a number of them, but the one that he mentioned late was Larry Ogunjobi as part of that defensive tackle group, just because, yeah, I'm interested to see how they're going to integrate Jordan Phillips into the mix here, especially since he hasn't practiced at all at training camp or played a preseason game, just essentially being ready to go at the team's will, coming back for a fourth stint with the team. I'll be interested with that defensive tackle group and seeing how that all plays out.
Yeah, I believe what Sal maybe indicated a little bit, that Jordan Phillips, right now, he gets the roster spot of Larry Ogunjobi. And then when he comes back, well, you don't know what your injuries are going to be or anything like that. But then, yeah, so now, then you can scratch your head and go, all right, well, who's gone then? You know, because Okunjobi's going to be there. So he now comes onto the roster after his suspension is over. And then I think the question would be, well, then who is Jordan Phillips replacing here? I mean, I look down the names, and I can't give you one right now. So, but again, you don't know what your injury situation is going to be in 6 weeks. So, certainly, I suppose I did raise an eyebrow, but it did make sense because you are going to lose a guy for 6 weeks. So at least for the near term, I think it makes sense.
And that's sort of our topic that we're going to be looking at today. For anybody that wants to join us at 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550, the toll-free number here. What roster groups or positional groups intrigue you heading into the regular season? I put up a Twitter poll, Paul, and people can vote in that. The three positions that I included are receiving group, which is wide receiver, tight ends, the defensive front, defensive ends, defensive tackles, the secondary, which is cornerbacks and safeties, or if you've got another group that you're particularly paying attention to, you're more than welcome to join us and let us know your thoughts. Again, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. And I've been thinking a lot about this, Paul, just because, you know, after that Bears game, there was just so many questions in terms of, you know, that was almost the game where it's just like the worst preseason outing you can think of was that Bears game. Just guys that weren't starters, didn't particularly perform well, then, you know, that raises more questions in terms of, okay, what's the status of this player? What's the status of that player? And then going into Saturday night, I think it was a nice little chance for everybody to be like, okay, we can take a breath. We can calm down, because those guys that might have struggled against the Bears really did a nice job performing against the Bucks. And again, you know, it was a different circumstance because Chicago, they played some of their starters early on. Then it just kind of snowballed on them. But, you know, going up against the positional groups here with, you know, for Tampa, they didn't have their starters play. They had their second, third string guys. But still, they played relatively well. I think it was a nice sigh of relief to see that the team kind of responded, the group entirely responded well against Tampa Bay. But still, a lot of particularly interesting questions with this team heading into the regular season in just a matter of days.
Yeah, what concerned me a lot about the Bear game wasn't the performance against the Bears starters. That should, if that doesn't happen, the Bears have some big problems. I mean, the Bears starters should have walked all over the Bills. Second and third stringers or fourth stringers, maybe in some cases, with no questions asked. What concerned me is when the Bears got the starters out of there, and now it's basically second, third, and fourth stringers against second, third, and fourth stringers, and the Bills were just still getting their doors blown off. It was almost like there was no resistance whatsoever. They were getting manhandled on the line of scrimmage. They couldn't make any plays. It was just a horrible football game, and you know that's basically what this Tampa Bay game was. It was second, third, fourth stringers against each other, and that the Bills came to play. And I noticed, you know, something that Sean McDermott has been talking about that we saw during Hard Knocks is, you know, he called out his leaders a little bit. You know, said, "I'm not seeing from you guys what I've been seeing in the past from
right.
you."
Yeah,
you know. Where are you guys been? What are you doing?
Yeah, that stood out right away.
Yeah, I need to see this from you. And even though a lot of those leaders didn't play in this Tampa game, I really took notice on the sideline. And they were extremely engaged. You know, and I only want to say a bunch of names because I saw a bunch of them, almost all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody made a play. They came over to the sideline. They got mauled. and you know, the starters were really excited for them. And I think that's what he was talking about, you know. Get to the place and help your player up immediately type of a thing. Get there quickly. Be together. Be excited for each other, you know, that type of leadership. And I'm sure Sean McDermott was a lot happier with what he saw, because those types of things, I agree with Sean McDermott. I think those things are important. They do become contagious, you know, on the sideline. You know, if Josh Allen is happy in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left and is excited and going crazy over a play that's made by a guy who might never see the NFL, you know, well, I should probably be that excited too if the MVP of the league is like that, and he was like that. So that was good to see too. Obviously, those players took heed to what Sean McDermott had said to them.
Yeah, that's one thing that stood out to me with the last episode of Hard Knocks there was just even before knowing what was said kind of after that Bears game, McDermott was looking for those guys, those leaders, those guys that have been around for a while to step up even further than what they've already done, which kind of was funny to see that and then know that the Bears game was coming and that sort of response. So I'm interested to see how this week's episode's going to go. 803-0550 is the number, 1-888-550-2550, and we'll head out to the phone lines here and get some thoughts from Bills fans here. Mike is in Denver with some thoughts on the Bills. Mike, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Yes, good morning. I guess, you know, this is almost comical with this defensive line and Jordan Phillips coming back for like the 99th time. This is like a merry-go-round with this defensive line, with this Puta Ford, I mean, Boogie Basham, and then you had that other guy that was just kind of there for 3-4 years that they had that was sat out during COVID. Sooner or later, when is someone going to step up and say, we can't coach the defensive line? I mean, I don't know who the defensive line coach is and why this GM can't analyze defensive line talent and bring some talent in here and why they can't count on who they already have on the roster and the guys that they have brought in to fill the job, that they don't have to bring in Jordan Phillips.
I don't think Jordan Phillips is here and Brayton to take the place of Daquan Jones or Dwayne Carter or anything like that. I believe it's because of the suspension, quite honestly. You need another guy right now. They know Jordan Phillips. They know what they're going to get from him. But I don't think he's here to replace anybody. I don't disagree with the caller. I think the defensive line, it just seems like they keep drafting defensive linemen, and I'm kind of been underwhelmed by a lot of it. You don't get the performances and quite honestly, I haven't been real excited about A.J. Epenesa since he's been a Buffalo Bill.
No.
I have been at times. You know, it seems like there's maybe three or four games where he becomes dominant, makes some phenomenal plays, and sometimes he winds up in the end zone with the ball. But then it's like, well, then it goes away for a while, and it's the consistency of that. So I don't disagree with the caller there that, you know, a lot of, you know, what they've tried to do with the defensive line just hasn't worked. But in this particular case, I don't think he's being brought in because they're unhappy with Dwayne Carter or Daquan Jones or others. I just think there's an opening right now.
Yeah, and I want to point to a point that the caller made with regards to a little bit of criticism for Brandon Bean in terms of drafting on the defensive front. Yes, I mean, yeah, you could say that it's been sort of a struggle with Brandon Bean on the defensive front to try and draft guys that are contributors. You know, that's why a huge reason why they drafted this year the way they did is because they're trying to get better on the defensive line. T.J. Sanders, Deion Walker, Landon Jackson were all drafted up front, and they were 1, 2, 3 in a row in the second, third, fourth round. There's reasons why he's trying to draft those guys is because he knows that's an issue. I know last year they drafted Dwayne Carter in the third round, and Carter, I thought, performed admirably until he had his wrist injury, and then when he came back from his wrist injury, he was kind of like Keon Coleman. That little step back and that momentum that he was gaining early on, he has the injury, and then when he comes back, it kind of hurt because he didn't get some valuable reps. He didn't get the time on the field to continue that growth and progression as a rookie, and it was a step back for a guy like Dwayne Carter. And, you know, obviously you go back even further. You know, they didn't even address a defensive front in 2023. In 2022, they also didn't really address the defensive front. And you have to go back to 2021 when they drafted Greg Rousseau, who I think has worked out fairly well for the Bills. He mentioned Boogie Basham. That was obviously a big swing and a miss. But, yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Paul, in terms of the Jordan Phillips point where it's just like, yeah, he's a guy that's super familiar with the Bills. The Bills are familiar with him. They seem to really like each other, and it's just a fact of, you know, he's not coming in to replace a guy like a Dwayne Carter or one of the rookies that they have on the roster. He's more so coming in because I don't know what the situation is with Larry Ogunjobi. I don't know if he's going to make the roster. I don't know if even Daquan Jones is going to make the roster. I've questioned the fact of Daquan Jones even being part of the roster going forward into this regular season. I'm not sure what that is, but I don't necessarily think it's a concern with bringing in Jordan Phillips for that reason. And I think Brandon Bean has kind of seen what the last few years of the draft and how his team has been built. And I think that's a huge emphasis and something that I'll get into next segment with the topic that we have today. I think that Brandon Bean has seen what he wants to address, especially up front on the defensive line, and he's trying to make that happen. 803. Yeah, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I agree. I'm glad you brought up those two names of Sanders and Walker, too, because, you know, I don't think they're unhappy with them either.
Right.
You know, with what they've seen so far in training camp. And I think they've seen some great improvement, too, from what they've seen in the spring and training camp as they've moved forward also.
Yeah. 803-0551, 888-550-2550 are the numbers to get a hold of us. Which position group intrigues you the most heading into the regular season? There's a Twitter poll up that we have. You can vote on that. Feel free to chime in as well and give us your thoughts on the topic as well. When we come back, I'll give you my position group that intrigues me the most, Paul, and you can chime in as well. 803-0550 is the number here. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton filling in on the Extra Point Show today here on WGR.
Yeah, it's exactly where I want it to be. I think it's really, really fun. You know, this defense is going to be really creative. I know what you see in the last three preseason games is like that much of a gigantic playbook. But we've got some cool stuff on there. And, you know, I think there's, you know, some different ways to sort of think about blitzes and pressures and movements. And, you know, that's always the interesting part, you know, that I don't think I knew about coming to a new program is like the football 101 is the same. But like learning a new style and a new like philosophy of how to attack offenses, I think has been really cool. And it's just sort of opened up my own toolbox of how I understand football and, you know, can kind of get the answers to the test a little bit.
Bills defensive end pass rusher Michael Hoyt, Canadian-born player.
Good interview.
Yeah. He spoke after the win on Saturday over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, part of the pass rush defensive front group that we've kind of addressed today. By the way, Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton with you, joining. Hopefully you're joining us here on the Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550, filling in today. 803-0550 is the number here, 1-888-550-2550 are the numbers if you care to join us. Today's topic that we are focusing in on is which position group intrigues you the most heading into the regular season. Again, we got a Twitter poll up on my account, at Brayton J. Wilson. You could vote for either the receiving group, which is wide receivers, tight ends, the defensive front, which includes defensive ends, defensive tackles, the secondary, cornerbacks, safeties, or other. Feel free to join us on the phones, on social media. Paul, I don't know where you sit on this, but I know my clear-cut answer on this. And we kind of teased it a little bit and talking about some of the players. It's the defensive front for me. I think that I'm really intrigued with how that's going to play. I mean, we got some obvious names that are going to be in the fold. You know, the Greg Rousseau's, the Ed Oliver's that are going to be there. But really, and then the Joey Bosa, obviously, as well. But then after that, it kind of gets really interesting in terms of where things kind of stand, especially now that you're going to be likely throwing Jordan Phillips into the mix here with this group. I am really intrigued how roster cutdown day is going to go, how once Larry Ogunjobi, if he even makes the roster, is going to factor into this situation. Because, you know, obviously, yes, he's going to be suspended for the first six games, and you could easily just put him on the suspended list or however that goes and then just have him on. And then once his suspension is up, then you deal with him. But yeah. I mean, I think back to when they signed Larry Ogunjobi and Brandon Bean was kind of caught off guard by the fact that he was facing a possible suspension compared to Michael Hoyt, where Michael Hoyt was like, oh, Brandon Bean knew that. And it's just like, well, we're going to sign him to a 3-year deal anyway. So whatever, we'll just take that. But it caught him off guard with the suspension there. And really with Ogunjobi, I don't know what he's necessarily done this training camp, this preseason, that's stood out, at least in my eyes, to warrant him to garner a roster spot even before the suspension. So I think that really intrigues me the most, looking at the defensive front group. Again, there are the surefire names that are going to be here, the Rousseaus, the Bosas, the Ed Olivers, and then everyone else after that. I'm really looking forward to seeing how that's kind of panned out. As I mentioned earlier, I even think Daquan Jones could be on the chopping block. I just think that given his age, given his significance on the roster at this stage, and you got two guys that are young and upcoming right behind him that have, I think, performed admirably in the training camp and preseason to at least get them some significant looks, and with their salary cap situation, it might benefit the Bills in a way if they look at Daquan Jones and they say, you know what, with the situation we're in, it might save us a little bit. We will have a little bit of a dead cap hit, but I think if I saw correctly, because I was looking this up last week when I was on with Derek, the savings that the Bills will have will be more than the dead cap for Daquan Jones. And I'm interested with what he might have in store with the potential of him being cut.
And you're right, with Ogunjobi, that's possible. I mean, once the suspension is over, maybe they could just release him, especially if they've liked what they've seen through the season so far, you know, when that ends. The reason, and that was before, you know, what the preseason games and everything else, But the fact that they kept him around after they found out about the suspension, they kept him anyway, you know, in both cases, as you mentioned, where they could have just said, you know what, nah, if this is going to be a suspension, let's just go another way, you know, type of a scenario there. So the fact that they didn't do that, I think maybe bides well for him. But again, they get the, you know, they have to see where the injuries are at and that kind of thing with, you know, once he gets back to where they are. The guy that I really enjoyed his preseason because of the improvement I thought we saw was the third round pick, Landon Jackson. You know, he would have, but this is expected. You're talking about a rookie here. But I thought in training camp there were some up days and some down days, and that's totally expected. I didn't sit there and go, oh, this guy's no good or anything, because then you would see some good things from him. And I think the preseason games, I think we saw a lot of progress as he went through the preseason. I thought, you know, he put some good pressure on the quarterback in this last game against Tampa Bay and got to the spot that he needed to get to. And I liked a lot of I just liked the improvement I saw in him as the preseason went by, which is what you expect out of a guy that you drafted in the third round and as a rookie. And I think he came through with that during the preseason.
Yeah, I agree with you there with Landon Jackson. I think didn't really see much of him in the first two games. And then in the third game, he started to kind of really start to come into his own a little bit here. And I think the ascension for Landon Jackson is certainly a possibility with him. I just keep looking back to Sal's 53-man roster projection. He posted that on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it these days, at Sal Sports. Yeah, I just keep looking at that, and I keep looking at the defensive group, and especially defensive tackle when you throw in the Jordan Phillips idea really makes it that much more complex and makes it a little more interesting. I did also bring up the Daquan Jones post June 1st release, so if he is cut as part of this, at least this is what I believe is to be the case, and I believe SpotTrack is right. The 2025 dead cap would be $3.9 million. The dead cap for 2026 would be a little over $3.7 million. But the savings this year on the salary cap will be $5.5 million. So if they're in a situation where they feel that they're going to be better off with the salary cap situation and Daquan Jones is part of that solution to be better off, that might be something that's of interest. And plus, given his age and maybe could one of the rookies or somebody else in that defensive front perform just as well as a Daquan Jones on the roster?
Yeah, definitely. And in this day and age of football and hockey and, you know, where there's salary caps to deal with and everything, that all goes into consideration when you're talking about your final cuts in some senses. I mean, if a guy's really, really bad, you can't keep him. You got to figure out a way to get around the salary cap or whatever the situation might be with it. But even when we were talking to Sal earlier, you know, we were talking about some cuts and he brought up, well, how does that, you know, you got to look at the salary cap. Now, what does that do with the salary cap as opposed to keeping the player and those types of things? And that would drive me insane, right? If I had to figure out all that stuff, and I would rather, if I'm a GM and a coach, say, okay, we're cutting this guy, and whatever. Not well, we're cutting this guy, but what does that mean against our salary cap? What does that mean against this? And it all goes into effect then.
Yeah, another position I didn't include in this group, Paul, but I'm interested to see how it plays out come Tuesday afternoon, is linebacker, because obviously it's Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano, and Dorian Williams are locks. Joe Andreessen, I think, is more so a lock than anything. He played really well on Saturday night against Tampa Bay, especially after a game against Chicago where I think it was noticeable that Andreessen might have not have been his best against Chicago. I thought he was phenomenal against Tampa Bay. And then after that, is Shaq Thompson's roster spot a guarantee? I know he's a veteran. I know he's got ties with McDermott and Bean because he was drafted by those guys in Carolina. Is he a lock? Jimmy Charlo, who obviously has been featured in Hard Knocks and I think is a great story. I think he's also had a really decent preseason. I think he was in particularly very good against Tampa Bay. Eddie Olofosio, he was a draft pick of the Bills last year out of Washington. And then Keonta Jenkins got a lot of looks. I don't think he's going to make it, but that's another position where you see the names, you see who might be possibly somebody that could make the roster and battling it out. That to me is another intriguing group of positional group that is going to be looked at heavily heading into Tuesday, but you know, maybe not so much as intriguing as the other ones that we're talking about today.
And you can check my memory here on the number. I remember in Hard Knocks, McDermott saying, I think he said it was three, it might have been two, you know, three guys are going to make this team for special teams.
Hmm.
They made it because of their special teams. Was it? Do you remember that comment? Was it three or two?
I think I want to say it was three, but I can't remember.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't really matter. Either two or three guys are going to make this team because of special teams alone. And if that's the case, I think Jimmy Charlo is on the roster.
I think so too.
And especially with what he did at linebacker, you know, to put on film at what he did with linebacker also, I don't think he's going to kill him if he winds up at linebacker during a game. But when McDermott said that and the way this kid has performed on special teams, and, you know, he was a great college player, but injuries have derailed his NFL development. And, you know, they talked about on the broadcast that Brandon Bean said he was pretty much at the top of their radar when it came to, all right, we're looking for a guy, you know, with they were thinking with special teams, and a guy that maybe has not really been able to get an opportunity for certain reasons. And he was at the top of that list. So when you say who's going to make the team, I think the combination of special teams and what he's done at linebacker, I don't see how they could ignore that. So I think he would make the team with that in mind.
803-0551-888-550-2550 is the number here. If you want to get connected with us, that would be absolutely allowable. That's also brought to you by Northtown Kia. Getting connected with our fans brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton filling in on the Extra Point Show with you here on WGR. We'll step aside, and when we come back, we will have one more segment before we're joined by Matt Bovee from Channel 7 WKBW-TV. He joins us right at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. Talk more about the Bills here on WGR. All right, we're back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson joined by Paul Hamilton today. And Paul, I know that we're talking football today, but I can't help but start to get excited a little bit for hockey season. I'm already starting to get my gears getting going for the upcoming hockey season. Even though I'm really excited about football, I couldn't help but think earlier this morning, just, you know, normally when you and me host, we're talking hockey, but it was just one of those things coming up in my mind, in my internal discussions that I have that, oh man, we're only about a month and a half away from hockey. This is really strange. Knowing football season is just days away, but I'm already thinking about hockey. What's wrong with me?
Yeah, well, actually, we're less than a month away from the next time you and I are probably together, and that's the Prospects Tournament.
Yes.
Brian Cozy will be with us, too, and we always have a great time with that. We get to see some of the younger players in action during that tournament, and it really gives us a chance to see who's improved, who hasn't, who might be somebody that can, you know, move forward with. And we've seen players that maybe you didn't really realize that, you know what, these guys are pretty good hockey players. Maybe they can be a part of the Buffalo Sabres over the years. So I'm excited that that's almost here for us.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about this team heading into this year. I am intrigued with still some of the prospects that are in the system going forward, and I am looking forward to our broadcast, Paul. That will be the let's see, the Prospects Challenge this year is going to be the Sabres play on the 12th, the 13th, and the 15th of September, because the 14th the Bills will be playing, and they usually do not schedule the Bills and the Sabres playing on the same day during that tournament. So very interesting to see how the prospects look, how they compare to some of the other prospects around the league. I just that was something that just came up to my mind. I don't know why it did, and it probably shouldn't at this point, Paul, because, you know, football is the more pertinent topic right now with everything going on. This is in January, you know, January 10th, where there's nothing going on, and it's just kind of like, hey, we're pondering a bunch of different things. Like, right now, it's definitely should be more so football, and then once things get going with the regular season, then it's just like, okay, we can let the hockey season kind of creep in and take over some conversations as well. But yeah, I guess it comes up from time to time in my mind, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, you know, they think they've improved a lot. I think they have improved somewhat. I don't know if I'd say a lot, but I do think they're going to be better defensively. But anytime anybody asks me, well, where do you think they're going to be able to break this string this year? And my first question back is, tell me what the goaltending's going to be like.
Yeah.
If the goaltending's like it was last year, no.
Nope.
They don't have a chance.
I agree.
If Luukkonen is like he was to finish the last 35 games 2 years ago, absolutely they have a shot, a very good shot at doing it, because I think they have improved somewhat. But, you know, they're going to have to get more goals from within, from a couple of guys to make up for the Paterka goals. But they certainly, won't be hurt by the defense of Paterka. Defensively, as he's one of the worst, had some of the worst numbers around when it came to analytics because of his poor defensive play. But to me, if you're not getting the big saves at the big time, you can't survive being 29th in the league defensively and make the playoffs and be do well. You just can't. So that has to get better. And I think the quality of chances against the goaltending, I think, will be better this year. They won't be facing, I think, some of the wild 3-on-0s and those types of things, because I think they have gotten better defensively. But still, you got to make the save. And mistakes are going to be made. And when they're made, you got to bail out your teammates. And if the goaltending isn't bailing out their teammates at the right times to help.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Them win hockey games and know that this streak is not going to get broken this year.
I agree. All right, Matt Beauvais from Channel 7 WKBW-TV joins us after this timeout, and you're listening to the Extra Point Show, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Call or text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to the Extra Point Show now, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com for the all-new Kia K4 Sportage Telluride and EV9.
Hour two of the Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brayton Wilson filling in today along with Paul Hamilton, and joining us right now on the Wester Hotline, a good friend of not only the program but also the station as well, Matt Beauvais from WKBW-TV, Channel 7 here in Buffalo. He's also the co-host of the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with Sal Capaccio. Matt, thanks again for taking some time to join us this morning. How are you on this fine Monday morning, sir?
I am great. How are you guys today?
Not too bad.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Hey, whoa. Hold on, everybody. Here, wait a minute. Nobody told me that Beauvais was going to be on the air with me here.
Right? Oh.
Now, wait a minute here. I think I might have a tuna fish sandwich or something I got to go make or something. I mean, why is Beauvais on the air with me?
Two enemies who are just going to go at it for the next 20 minutes, Paul Hamilton and I.
I forgot.
Hi, Matt.
Popcorn.
How are you?
Hey Paul. How did the Yankees series this weekend go? Do you mind me asking?
Well, luckily I was on vacation I was out of town and wasn't really on social media, so I don't have a good grasp of what went on.
The only thing worse than Paul are the New York Yankees right now.
Man, those are some fighting words there. Well, Matt, certainly. Now focus for, let's get back to football here, but football focus now. The Bills, preseason's over. They get the win on Saturday night over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and had a really nice bounce back performance compared to the game that they had against the Bears just six nights prior. What was the biggest thing you took away from the Bills preseason finale? I know usually with finales in the preseason, it's just kind of like the rando guys that are trying to either battle it out for a roster spot on the 53 or the rando guys that are trying to keep their football dreams alive in the NFL. What stood out to you, though, from that game?
I think Tyrell Shavers probably did enough to make the Bills 53-man roster just with that ridiculous catch. I think he was on the bubble going into the game. And then when you make a play like that, I think it's hard to sneak somebody after something like that onto your practice squad, just because other teams will see the potential and the talent and they'll try and unlock it if you don't. So to me, that's why I think Tyrell Shavers was probably the story of the game, the wide receiver. I think he's going to make the Bills 53-man roster. That doesn't mean I think that somebody else will get cut. I just think the Bills will keep six wide receivers instead of five, which they sometimes usually do. So Shavers was pretty up there for me. I liked what we saw from Cole Bishop in the game. I think needing to see a little bit more confidence and a comfortability out of him was important as we get ready for the season, just because last week, you know, that was a big talking point. Sean McDermott had said several times, we're looking to see who is going to play safety alongside Taylor Rapp. And I think it's going to be Cole Bishop. And I think even though it was against backups, he probably did enough to show his coaches that, okay, I am ready for this. And there's going to be growing pains and there's going to be bumps along the road. But I do think that Cole Bishop has the highest ceiling of the group. And then after that, I think it's just kind of, okay, what do you make of all of these players who are on the bubble and the really tough decisions that they need to make between now and tomorrow? You know, they already kind of cut their first wave of players, but they still have like 25 more players that ultimately need to be cut by tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, you kind of addressed a couple of the position groups. topic we're talking about today, Matt, is which position group intrigues you the most heading into the regular season. And you mentioned two of the groups with the wide receivers and also the secondary. I've also included the defensive front. That's the position group that I'm really kind of most interested in because I think there are a couple of question marks going in. And I agree with you that I think Tyrell Shavers is a lock now on the 53-man roster at wide receiver. What position group intrigues you the most to take part in this poll today?
I liked your answer of the defensive line because that's what I would say also, just because I think you have some proven players in the NFL who I think could give the Bills some nice juice, and then you have the younger defensive linemen who have all flashed at times during this summer. Like Joey Bosa, you know, as somebody who's been out there pretty much every day, has looked really, really good. Now, Joey Bosa's thing is, will Joey Bosa stay healthy? But I think all of a sudden you're going to have somebody who is as productive as Greg Rousseau on the other side of Greg Rousseau a pretty nice amount of time, which should make everybody on the defensive line also better. I like what we've seen out of Hoyt, but I know that means you're going to have to wait until week six. But to me, that's not the worst thing because it feels like once the injuries start to bang up and you get a player who should be rejuvenated and fresh at that point when he comes back. So those are the two guys, like as far as edge rushers are concerned, that I'm excited about. And then on the interior, I really like TJ Sanders. I think TJ Sanders paired with Ed Oliver on obvious passing downs could provide them with some nice interior pass rush. Deion Walker has certainly flashed. He was another big story of that third preseason game. Don't really know what to expect from Ogunjobi if he's even on the roster after this six-game suspension. I think he will be, but I think that he just provides a bit more depth. And then there was the Jordan Phillips news. Like, I'm still anticipating that Jordan Phillips is probably going to be on the practice squad.
Yeah.
So for me, like, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a player you know who can play, and if he's on the practice squad and just gets elevated a couple times early in the season, I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. So the only really like big questions to me in that room are probably Dwayne Carter and Ogunjobi, but I mean, we're talking about like the fifth and sixth defensive tackle on this roster.
Right, and I'll make another point that I haven't made earlier today, but I think it's an absolutely valid point. Your big bugaboo over the last several years has been trying to get over the hump with Kansas City, and every time that you've played Kansas City in the playoffs, what's one thing the Bills have yet to be able to do in order to get over that hump? It's be able to get to Patrick Mahomes, be able to get to the quarterback. And I think that that's been such a point of emphasis, I feel like at least this offseason, of trying to find answers and bring in players that can get them over the hump. And that's part of the reason why I'm so intrigued is who is it that they see as those players that can get to Mahomes or get to whoever they're playing in the playoffs, make life a living, you know what, for them, and find a way to bring that pressure like the Eagles did in the Super Bowl and help blow out the Chiefs in the big game.
I think now, and I don't know if I would have said this answer a month ago, but I think that's Joey Bosa. Now, Joey Bosa needs to stay healthy, and I think the Bills are going to be smart about it, but I think that Joey Bosa and Greg Rousseau are their two best pass rushing options for sure for those big moments. It's just getting Bosa to that point, and obviously Greg Rousseau staying healthy. But on those, like, gotta-have-it third-down situations, third and six, third and ten, whatever it is, my group that I would probably be putting out there would be Bosa and Rousseau, Oliver, and then probably TJ Sanders, or whatever defensive tackle shows that they have the most for that role. Maybe it's Deion Walker, but I think it's going to be TJ Sanders. And I think that's a much better and kind of more balanced unit than they've had in years past. Like, we talk about Jordan Phillips just now. Jordan Phillips made one of the biggest defensive plays of the game against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship with a sack of Patrick Mahomes, I think on second down in the red zone, to force third and really long, and that's when the Bills forced a field goal and then got the ball back, only down three. We're talking about Jordan Phillips now as a practice squad call-up elevation, or what we think that's going to be. He was out there in that situation for the Bills just because they didn't have any other options. So I just do feel like they'll be able to overcome the injuries. They'll be able to overcome the adversity because they just have so many more guys there.
Matt, you brought up the name of Walker, and I'll throw Jackson in there also. From the start of training camp until now, what I really liked about those two players is the improvement we've seen. And,
yeah,
of course, that's what you hope to see from a rookie. You know, maybe it's not going to go great right off the bat, you know, because they're learning and that type of thing. But they both seem to really have made strides in their games as training camp and preseason has gone on. Have you seen the same thing from those two?
Yeah, and I'll specifically speak more to Deion Walker just because I feel like the strides from him are larger, like no pun intended. I just think that he has done a lot for this team the last couple weeks, and the praise that he is getting from some of his peers is pretty impressive. Like, I had a conversation with Connor McGovern and David Edwards probably on Thursday, and we spoke for about a half an hour, and one of the questions I asked them was about young defensive linemen who have impressed them, and they immediately got to Deion Walker and were like, we think this guy is going to be really, really good. So to have that type of praise coming from a couple of veterans who have seen a lot in this league, I think is a really good sign for a player like him. Landon Jackson still has a long way to go, and that's to be expected. Deion Walker does as well. I don't think Landon Jackson is like a slam dunk to be active on game days. I think that might take a little bit of time for him to get up to that role, but I could absolutely see like a rotational younger AJ Epenesa type role for a player like Landon Jackson, which is not nothing. Like, that is still certainly something teams want to have for just situational football. Maybe you bring him in on second down. Maybe he's somebody who can be, you know, a little bit of extra added depth while you wait for Michael Hoyt to come back. So the way I'm envisioning in my head is that their top rotation of defensive ends is Greg Rousseau and Joey Bosa. And then after week six, their second rotation is probably Michael Hoyt and AJ Epenesa. And then after that, it's probably, you know, some sort of combination of Solomon and Landon Jackson.
Matt Beauvais from Channel 7 WKBW-TV joining us on the Western Hotline here on WGR. Also a co-host with our own Sal Capaccio on the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. Matt, certainly another position that I think is going to be interesting in a way to look at it heading into roster cutdown day is at corner, just given the fact of there's still so much uncertainty surrounding the Tre'Davious White injury. You've already got Max Harrison, who's battling back from his own knee injury. There's still no timeline in terms of when he might be back. What questions do you have in terms of that cornerback's room and just how things kind of play out heading into decision day on Tuesday?
It starts with the injury for Tre'Davious White and the timeline for Max Harrison, because I feel like those will have a direct impact on ultimately who makes the roster. If Trey White's injury spills into the regular season, and at this point we don't know if that's the case, then I wonder if they go out and they get somebody else. I think it would be easy to assume that that would be Dane Jackson, but Dane Jackson played really late into this final preseason game, and I don't think that necessarily is a great sign for him. And if you're without Trey White and Max Harrison isn't ready to come back, like, I think there's a chance he starts on IR and misses the first 4 weeks. Then who plays corner opposite Christian Benford? My guess would maybe be Dorian Strong, maybe Jamarcus Ingram, but I don't think that either of those options give you a ton of confidence this early in the season, and then with a player like Strong this early into his career. So then, like, do you call Rasua Douglas just because he knows the defense? But would he even be interested if he was just bridging the gap for Trey White and Max Harrison? I don't know if that would be the case. So that is the position that I have the most, I guess, intrigue surrounding, not the position I'm the most concerned with. The position I'm the most concerned with is safety, but cornerback is definitely one that I'm going to be really interested to see how this next, like, 36 hours plays out.
I did get a little more comfortable with safety seeing Cole Bishop yesterday.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, 2 days ago. I thought much better is what I was thinking as I was watching him play. Still, there's ways to go, and he'll, as he gets more opportunity to get reps, I think he'll get better. But at least I thought it was a pretty large improvement from what we had seen the week before, you know, when he was out there.
And I like Jordan Hancock, too. I like the way that he played before he got that shoulder injury.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think Hancock had maybe like an outside chance at even winning a job if he didn't get the injury. I still think that he's got a bright and promising future. The thing that concerns me about the safety position a little bit is obviously the questions with Cole Bishop, but Taylor Rapp just plays a style of football where he does get banged up. And if he sustains some sort of injury, I don't know what they're going to do. If they're just going to roll with Damar Hamlin again, or do they give Hancock the opportunity to go play alongside Cole Bishop, or is it somebody else? Do they like Cam Lewis as kind of being the Mr. Steady and reliable guy who can do a little bit of everything? I just don't feel like the position is super deep. Like, they signed Derek Forrest, and I thought that he might make some noise. I don't really think he has a chance of making the 53-man roster. We still have the questions with Cole Bishop. Taylor Rapp has gotten banged up in his career, so his availability is a concern. Jordan Hancock is still somebody who there's a lot of unknowns around. So the only one we kind of really know what they are, or the only two that I guess we know who they are Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin. And that was the safety room for much of last year, and it just simply wasn't good enough. So that's why, you know, if Cole Bishop can come in and play really solid and they stay healthy, then I think it'll be manageable and it'll be fine. But it's if they sustain one injury there, I don't feel like they're nearly as deep as they are at some other positions.
Back to the offensive side of the football, Matt, I know that we talked a lot about Tyrell Shavers, and I agree, again, that I think he's made the 53-man roster, especially with the performance he's put up against the Buccaneers and really throughout training camp and the preseason. Then it gets to a little bit of a questionable aspect of who else is a part of that group. I mean, Shakir, Coleman, Josh Palmer, I think are locks. Then you get to Shavers, who I think is a lock. Then you have one more spot, likely, and it becomes Curtis Samuel, becomes Elijah Moore, becomes Laviska Shenault, who's obviously been a kick returner throughout the preseason and getting in that the reps there. I just, like, I'm interested to see if they are sold on having Curtis Samuel sticking around, if they're really sold with the way Elijah Moore, I felt he had a more up and down preseason than maybe he should have. I'm just intrigued what you think about the receivers room.
I think they're going to keep six, and I think it's going to be the three that you mentioned is kind of the locks with Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, and Josh Palmer. Then I think they keep Shavers, I think they keep Curtis Samuel, and I think they keep Elijah Moore. That's what I think ultimately happens. I think they would be searching for potentially a Curtis Samuel trade partner, but if that's not out there, then I just don't know if they would be willing to take on that dead cap hit for a player not on their roster, even though they've done it in the past. I just feel like he still provides you some sort of promise. And I mean, like, Curtis Samuel caught the game tying touchdown in the fourth quarter last year in the AFC Championship and was playing his best football at the end of the year. So I still think that that is somebody who they believe in, especially in a rotational role. Elijah Moore, I personally believe, will look better and more comfortable and explosive when he's out there with Josh Allen in the first team offense. And he's, you know, gotten a lot of run with that kind of in practice. Obviously, that hasn't transferred over to the games. And then Tyrell Shavers being out there and then getting a handful of special team snaps in that preseason finale, I think is a good sign for him. So if they're going to do that, then they need to figure out who's going to be their primary kick returner, because that would mean Shenault isn't going to make the team. And if that's the case, then I would imagine it's Brandon Codrington, but he hasn't done anything to, you know, completely solidify that question mark as well. But I don't see them just cutting Curtis Samuel or Elijah Moore. The more I think about it, the more I just don't see them doing that, especially because then you're an injury away from somebody getting elevated into a role that maybe you don't feel comfortable about. And having those guys available, I think, could be an asset for the team.
I have huge concerns about Elijah Moore, and I don't disagree with what you're saying. I can't envision them cutting him either. But through training camp, through practices, he has the dropsies. And I just don't receivers that drop the football, it just, to me, drive me insane. And he'd be probably one of my first cuts if I were in charge. Now, of course, there's salary cap and ramifications and those types of things. I have, quite honestly, liked Hamler more than I've liked Moore throughout practices, throughout games, and everything else. But what you said could be right. Maybe he, when he's out there with Josh Allen, now he is out there, Josh Allen, during practice, mm-hmm. and it's the drops that really drive me crazy that I see. There's just way too many of them. But maybe once the regular season starts and he's there, you will see a better football player. But I just have been thoroughly unimpressed by Elijah Moore.
Yeah, the summer has not gone according to plan, because he was somebody who I had pretty high hopes for with the Bills. And now, you know, we're talking about whether or not he's even going to make the roster. My thought process going into a lot of the offseason was, well, look what he did with the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. Those are not great quarterbacks or situations. I think he could just be scratching the surface of what he could ultimately be. The thing I think the Bills like with a player like Elijah Moore is that there is some versatility to his game of where he can line up. I think theoretically everybody could probably move a little bit all over the place, but if there was an injury to Shakir, I think Elijah Moore would be the person we see in that role. And then if they need him to line up on the boundary, I think he still can. And he does separate, which is something that the Bills have been looking for, is wide receivers who can separate, just because some of the other skill sets and the guys they have don't necessarily do that extremely well. I don't disagree, though, Paul. I don't think it's been a great summer. Like, it has not gone nearly as well as I thought it was going to. I thought he was going to be a training camp darling, especially before the pads came on, and that was not the case. But then you get to the Curtis Samuel part. I mean, he missed basically all of training camp and didn't play in any preseason games. So there's questions there, too. And if there's questions there, then I feel like with Elijah Moore, the contract is so reasonable that I think you just kind of have to keep him.
Well, Matt, feel free to give a quick plug on what you got coming up at Channel 7 and what you've got featured coming out right before the start of the regular season here in a few days.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we've got our Monday show, Leading the Charge, every Monday night. It's with some guy named Howard Simon, who just keeps showing up to the studio, and we just don't have the heart to tell him to go away. So he's on the show every night, and then Joe Biscaglia, myself, Dom Tibbetts. We do it every single Monday night from now until whenever the Bills are done playing football. So I know a lot of fans are hoping we're going into mid-February. This is certainly the busiest time of year, but I will say also pretty excited for hockey season so I can start bugging Paul in person at the rink every once in a while.
Well, we were just talking earlier. We're actually kind of excited for hockey season. It doesn't start soon after the football season gets underway, so we're looking forward to that. Well, Matt, thanks again for taking some time today to join us and talk some football. We'll talk again soon. Enjoy the football season ahead, and hope you enjoy the rest of this wonderful Monday today as well.
Thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Matt Bovee from WKBW Channel 7 here in Buffalo, also a co-host with our own Sal Capaccio on the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. 803-0550 is the number here to join us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 1-888-550-2550 are the toll-free numbers to get a hold of us here. And if you want to get connected with us, we will be happy to do so. Getting connected with the fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll come back after a short time out here, and Paul, we'll get your thoughts on in terms of what you're looking forward to the most with the positional battles as we get into roster cutdown day and as we're looking ahead to the start of the regular season coming up on September 7th against the Ravens. We'll do that, and then we'll talk some more football stuff coming up here. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton filling in here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Snaps, and the kick is pretty darn good.
Holy smokes.
A driven spiral sending him back to his 12-yard line. Through a hole, though, Cameron Johnson out to the 35. That was a 61-yard punt by Zach Davidson.
Yeah, that was the true highlight from Sunday night. Pure peak preseason football right there, Paul. Zach Davidson, Bills tight end, booting a 62-yard punt. I know that he was a former punter at, I think he went to, what, San Diego State, if I remember correctly, but he booted that ball. Heck of a way down the field, and that was peak preseason football highlights there. That's going to be one of those that you pin up on the wall of memories from Bills preseason games.
That was amazing, too. And usually when your punter gets hurt, the kicker has to come out and punt, and it doesn't usually go well, the place kicker.
Right.
And so now at least they know if he's on the roster that they're covered if their punter ever gets injured, because my jaw dropped when I saw that. I thought, well, maybe, he's punted before in college, but I was expecting maybe a 25-yard punt or something
right.
like that. I wasn't expecting that.
No. And I think Zach Davidson probably is another guy that manned up his way onto the practice squad. I know he's been a part of the practice squad for the last couple of years. I think the 1 year he had torn his ACL, so he didn't even really – he was just on injured reserve the whole year. But I know last year he was on the practice squad, got a game or two call-up from the practice squad, and I feel like he's part of that now because I think the Bills really like what they saw out of rookie Jackson Hawes out of the preseason and out of training camp. They seem to utilize him pretty well over the last few games in the preseason and in training camp. I think they like what he brings, especially if maybe Alec Anderson's not going to be out there. He'll kind of be like that, almost that swing sort of tackle, even though he's a tight end blocking sort of style player.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, they like the fact, and they like the fact, even when we're talking about Alec Anderson, is how long this line has been together, and for the most part, they have stayed fairly injury free. I mean, you're never going to be injury-free all the time, but they like the fact that they've just been able to stay together almost as six guys and five, and they just know where each other are going to be. They can communicate with each other quickly, during a game or a practice situation. They have pizza parties
yeah.
together, which, is important. Bonding as a group is important. I mean, I laugh, but, just to get together and do things like that is an important part of bonding and developing a team. Now, of course, it's not the most important thing, but it's all part of it. And, Anderson is definitely a part of all that.
Paul Hamilton joining us here on The Extra Point Show is myself, Brayton Wilson, filling in today on The Extra Point Show, and then we're talking on The Extra Point Show here on WGR. 803-0551, 888-550-2550 are the numbers, is the number if you want to get to us. The toll-free number, if you need it, is 1-888-550-2550. All right, Paul, let's get back to the discussion point today and get your thoughts in terms of the position group that intrigues you the most heading into the regular season. If you missed it, you can vote on social media, on my Twitter poll, at Brayton J. Wilson, between receiving group, which is wide receivers, tight ends, the defensive front with defensive end and defensive tackle, the secondary with cornerback and safety, or if you have another one, you're more than welcome to join us on social media or over the phone lines as well. Paul, haven't heard from you on which position group intrigues you. Do you have a thought you'd like to chime in with that?
I've kind of, with our guests, gotten into it with the wide receivers, just because, now he's not on the bubble, but I'll just bring up the name of Keon Coleman. I mean, there are some folks that believe the way the Bills want to use him just is not going to be something he's going to be able to do in his career. I think he can be a good NFL player. I think there's attributes that, he can go up and get a football that other guys can't get with that type of ability. So just to see what kind of progress he has made as he comes into his second season in the NFL? What has he picked up? What has he worked on? And see, can he help them more than maybe he did last year? Because we saw flashes, and then he got hurt, and then it didn't happen anymore for him. And that's all a learning process, too, you know, in your first year, and you get hurt. Well, how do I handle that? You know, how do I come back from that? And so, you know, he learned something there. So he's very intriguing to me, you know, what kind of season he has, what kind of improvement can we see from him, and what kind of receiver is he going to be. I wasn't real I didn't really like – I was on the air on TV when the Curtis Samuel was signed, and I know I gave them the what? I did not think – I liked him as a player in Carolina a lot. But I did not like him as a player in Washington all that much, to be quite honest with you. I didn't see that same player when he played for the Commanders that I saw in Carolina. Now, the Bills, and when they're going by what they saw basically in Carolina, probably when they were all around him, you know, a lot of the people in the Bills organization. So, but you know, injuries have really taken away the. Well, can he get back to that with a Bill? He did a little bit. You know, when he got back, when we saw him near the end of the season. But, you know, I don't know. Do they have the Curtis Samuel, the Carolina Curtis Samuel, or do they have the Washington Curtis Samuel? If they have the Washington Curtis Samuel, you can cut him today, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
I just, when they signed, there were a couple of receivers, and I think there were three of them that last year there. I was just like, why are they signing them? And type of a thing. So, you know, with him, we talked about Elijah Moore. I just have been thoroughly unimpressed with Elijah Moore, watching him in training camp, dropping the football. He does have the attributes that Matt Bove was talking about. The reason he's here is because he can get separation on routes. But if you're getting separations, and honestly, I believe, this is my opinion, I think that one of the reasons Gabe Davis didn't get a contract offer, you know, the first time he was with the Bills, he made some big plays. There's no question he made some big plays as a Buffalo Bill. Go tune into that shootout with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Or don't.
Yeah.
Knowing the outcome.
But he was a guy that dropped the football a lot in big situations. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that was part of the reason why they weren't willing to give him a crazy contract as a wide receiver. That might have been part of the reason that they didn't. So it's so important when you got a receiver that in key situations, I mean, well, the Bills went 3-and-out. Well, the Bills went 3-and-out. Well, the Bills went 3-and-out. Well, yeah, but how many of those 3-and-outs are because the guy dropped a first down, or which could have kept a drive alive, and then who knows what the drive could have turned into. So, and then I scratch my head and I'll ask the question. I don't have the answer. What happened to Christian Wilkerson? Boy, the people were all, everybody was writing about him, and boy, Christian Wilkerson, he's been great. And then all of a sudden, he's fallen off the map in the last month.
Yeah,
I haven't even heard his name brought up.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like what happened to him when it came to what he might be able to do for the team.
Yeah, a quick side note, Paul, you made mention of the Washington Commanders news breaking here in the NFL circles. Terry McLaurin has agreed to a 3-year contract extension with the Commanders that will pay him up to $96 million. So that hold-in situation has officially ended. So for people that were maybe clamoring about bringing in Terry McLaurin from Washington, that's not going to happen.
Isn't this exactly how the Chase thing wound up?
Every hold-in has been this way.
It's exactly.
Doesn't matter what position it is.
And I remember, and I don't mean to bring it up because who cares about fantasy football? You know, I enjoy it, but whatever. But I remember when I was preparing, I think, I don't know if I want to take him. If he goes into the season, I think he'll play, but he's not going to be happy because he's going to be wanting, you know, they won't pay me. Should I take him? And then, you know, you have your draft, and like the next day he signs. It's like, okay. Well, that answers all that questions, as I didn't take him. But that's why I remember it, just because of that type of a situation where, you know, it just didn't look like anything was going to happen. Then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, no, we're not trading him. We're actually signing him. And it's right before the season starts, and here we are again with what the Commanders did.
I'm intrigued with the wide receiver group, Paul, just because I'm not sure if they are 100% sold on Curtis Samuel or Elijah Moore or even Tyrell Shavers for that matter. I think, again, Shavers plays well enough to get himself onto the 53-man roster, and maybe he'll get some action over the course of the upcoming season. But I really do believe that there could be the realistic possibility that they reunite with Gabe Davis at some point over the course of this coming season. Now, it could be after they announce the 53-man roster, then they finagle something else where maybe Gabe Davis comes in and plays on the practice squad to start, sort of maybe similar to Jordan Phillips, which I agree with Matt Bovee too, by the way. Jordan Phillips, I think, is more so a lock to sign on the practice squad right away and then maybe eventually work his way onto the roster.
I read yesterday, I believe that's not happening.
Okay. Because the way that I saw, I can't remember who it was with, I think it was Rappaport or something like that, just saying like he's going to sign to the Bills roster later this week. If it was kind of like maybe like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'd say, okay, practice squad, great, there you go. You got yourself your practice squad member, Jordan Phillips. But okay.
That's not happening now.
Right.
That doesn't mean it can't happen in 6 weeks,
right,
when you get a guy back or something like that.
Right.
That's the way I read that, but that's okay. Not happening now.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm kind of jumbled here. Back to the receiver point. I something just inside of me says that they're bound to bring Gabe Davis back in some capacity going into the
season. I
wouldn't
be hugely for that unless they are devastated by injuries.
I know.
And again, I get back to the same reason, drops. I just think that kills drives, and you just need receivers that can hang on to the football. You know, people forget too with KJ Hamler, he has a resume in Denver. Unfortunately, injuries stopped, you know, his growth or whatever it is.
Yeah, his development.
He played some good games in Denver. You know, and I've liked what I've seen here from him, with the way he's played here with the Bills and in training camp and everything. So this isn't just a rookie off the street or a free agent that doesn't have a resume. He does have a bit of a resume, and again, injuries have kind of curtailed his career. But I've liked his preseason, but Wilkerson, the way people were talking, the way he was in OTAs and in the beginning of training camp, you would have thought he was almost a lock to make the team. But I just haven't heard a thing about him in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing who's part of the 16-man practice squad that they put together every year. I think, you know, there's some interesting names that could be part of the picture. Obviously, with quarterback, it's interesting to see what they do. Do they keep Mike White? Do they keep Shane Bouchel? Do they keep both of them? Like, I don't know what their plan is for the third quarterback on this roster. You know, the wide receivers are interesting because KJ Hamler has been here last year. I think he could easily be back this year. Do they keep Christian Wilkerson? Do they keep Laviska Shenault on the practice squad as call-up guys potentially? I think Zach Davidson's a lock. And then you kind of go through the rest of the roster. Okay, what about a guy like Jimmy Charlo? If he's not making the roster, does he at least make the practice squad? Is he a guy that they keep around? Is a guy like Dane Jackson, who we made mention of earlier, is he a guy that maybe he doesn't make the roster, but is that veteran presence at corner that makes the roster or that makes the practice squad and sticks around? And you know, again, obviously the outside options, they could look to somebody else that I know maybe gets waived and then they go through waivers and officially get released, and then maybe they say, all right, you can join the Bills, but you're gonna have to sign with the practice squad. Maybe I'm really looking forward to seeing how that all breaks down. I know the 53-man roster is one thing, but the 16-man practice squad is almost just as intriguing because it's just like, okay, who didn't just make it to the regular roster that could be part of the practice squad and still be here, but also have that threat of just at a whim's notice just being like, oh, hey, this team is plucking your guy off your practice squad and bringing them in and signing them to their roster.
Yeah, and Shane Bouchel, I really liked him yesterday.
Yeah.
I keep saying yesterday. It's because I watched the game yesterday because I was out of town.
But no,
I don't think he's going to be the backup or anything like that. But the interesting thing is, what are the Bills looking for? What's Brady, as offensive coordinator, looking for here? Mike White definitely is ahead of Trubisky by leaps and bounds when it comes to natural ability, athletic ability. There's no question about that. To me, Trubisky is ahead of Mike White leaps and bounds when it comes to football IQ.
Yep.
and intelligence. I mean, Trubisky knows where the play needs to go. He can read the defense quickly. He can compute things quickly. But I don't think, not that he's not a good athlete, but I don't think he's the athlete Mike White is, or can do the things with the football that Mike White can. So what is Brady, as an offensive coordinator, looking for out of the backup? Because those are like almost total opposites in what they do and what they bring to the table.
Yeah, I for me it's clear, Mike, that Mitch Trubisky is the number two, and I like Mike White. I think that he's a solid number three, and but nothing more really. I mean, not on this team. I think Mitch Trubisky, for what Joe Brady has put together and for what he's implementing with this offense, I think that Mitch Trubisky is better set to back up Josh Allen in case of worst case scenario and break glass in case of emergency. Mitch Trubisky is that guy that, while he's not going to be the MVP that Josh Allen was, I know Mitch Trubisky is the MVP, Paul. He's the Nickelodeon's valuable player from years ago, but not even close to what Josh Allen, but it's very hard to replicate what Josh Allen can do. But I think Mitch Trubisky is that quarterback that is the one that could be closest to what you can get with the offense under, you know, Josh Allen is Mitch Trubisky under center. And then other than that, you know, yeah, I think Shane Buechele, I'm happy that Shane Buechele performed the way he did. Wasn't it, like, I was watching back some of the highlights yesterday and watching back some of the game, Paul, yesterday. He had, like, three incompletions early, and then the rest of the game, he only missed on one or two passes the rest of the way, right?
Yeah, definitely. It was really an impressive performance, I thought, by him. Again, you know, when he got pressure, be able to get out of the pressure and then try to make a play once he gets out of pressure, whatever that play may be, whether it's with his legs or with his arm, to get the team downfield and get some points. And, you know, he had some key third down conversions because of that, I thought. You know, Tampa Bay at the end of the half was calling timeouts because they thought they were going to get the ball back. And, you know, Buechele just kind of chipped away at the. It was a long. The reason they did that, I think they sacked him. I don't think it was a penalty. I think they sacked him, and it made second and long, and it gave, you know, Tampa, all right, we're making the ball back, and they're right. I'd be calling timeouts too. I don't disagree with that. But then at third down, he got it to third and fairly manageable. It was like third and 10-ish, something like that, and got the first down. Made a nice throw, and got the first down. So. You know, I was impressed by what I saw by him, and I do agree that, you know, what are the, you know, when I ask you the question, what are the Bills looking for in their backup quarterback? And I think you want the cerebral guy over the athletic guy, I think, just because, you know, the cerebral guy's not going to make as many mistakes under pressure. He's going to know when this isn't the time to take a chance. Let's live to play another day. Or, you know, read the defense, where the defense takes you, and just take what the defense gives you. So I understand it. Now, I'll be quite honest with you. I don't know if you agree with that. I think if Josh Allen gets hurt for more than a couple of games, I think that's it. I don't think either one of them can win football games for this team consistently. Can they get you through a game? Can they get you through Josh Allen being out for a game or two? Maybe.
Yeah.
And even if you have Josh Allen out for, well, he's got to miss one game. Well, even you don't want to lose a game, but even if you lose that one game, that probably doesn't blow up your season unless you need it to win in game 16 of the year. But if you're in game four, you know, well, if we lose one game here, we can come back from that type of a thing. So, but I have no confidence whatsoever that if Josh Allen were to get hurt for more than a game or two, that any quarterback on this team could get them through it.
Well, Paul, there's one more position and one more player in particular that I want to get to you with when we come back from the break, about a guy that I'm questioning whether or not he would make the practice squad if he is indeed part of the cuts. And I think he's going to be part of the cuts, but a guy that I question as making it to the practice squad after Tuesday. We'll get to that after this break here on WGR.
Hey,
Handoff to Gore, up the middle, lunging for the goal line, and the line judge says he has it. Touchdown, Buffalo!
All right, that was Frank Gore's touchdown from the win on Saturday night over the Buccaneers. Paul, real quick, do you believe that Frank Gore, if he does not make the 53-man roster, which I don't believe he's going to given the situation, do you think that he could make it to the practice squad, or do you think he's a name that could be looked at by other teams?
It didn't help him that he got the ball knocked out of his hands after he made a good play in one of the preseason games.
That's true, yes.
McDermott hates that. But, yeah, I do think he could make the practice squad,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right, maybe I'm just overthinking it. I don't know. I feel like that he could be a guy that maybe could get plucked somewhere else, especially if there's
could,
a team that
but
has
I think
a problem
they would try
back.
It. Yeah, they would try to.
For sure. Well, Paul, thanks for jumping on with me today and joining me for the couple hours for the Extra Points show. We'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
Yes, we'll see you in September.
Yes, exactly, especially with hockey season right around the corner as well. That'll do it for us on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Coming up next is Sabres Live, I believe, still. Yes, I know that they're going to be soon giving way for One Bills Live on Mondays, but that'll do it for us, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks again for tuning in, and you're listening to WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.